Okay, so if you're listening to this, then you just watched Lewis's video on the Charlie Hoffman situation at the Waste Management a couple weeks ago. And we just thought we'd just have a, extend the conversation. There were so many things that went on there that we could talk about that we just didn't have time for. So we're going to do this as situations warrant. If something comes up on the PGA Tour or notable, we might just have a conversation. So I'll open it up here. So you alluded to this at the end of the video about the possible change to the rules. And I love the way you framed, you know, outside forces, natural, is that what you call it?
So natural forces. And I think in the video I may have made a reference to not all movement on the golf course being made equal.
I love that line.
And as we know in the rules, there's a differentiation between when a ball is moved by natural forces and when an actual person moves the ball on the golf
right.
course.
Right. I love the way thanks for reminding me of that. I love that. Not all movement is created equal. So this, again, not to repeat, with this exact same situation, it's happened, you know, a fair amount of times. It's not common, but it did happen, sure. Interestingly enough, at Waste Management with Ricky Fowler. Unlike Charlie Hoffman, he didn't throw a fit. He didn't hashtag the world and say...
No, I think Ricky may have handled that situation slightly better in that case.
But. Yeah, I would say so. But here's the thing that I understand why Charlie Hoffman reacted the way he did. I don't agree with the way he handled it, but I understand. When you, particularly now that we have created this exception on the putting green, when you mark and lift a ball on the putting green, which you do 18 times around minimum, you put the ball back, no matter what happens, the ball's going back in that spot once you establish home base. So effectively, you've done the same action. You've placed the ball on the golf course, and why doesn't that same concept of home base extend on the rest into the general area? What are your thoughts on that?
So I think in that situation, and not to cut you off there, but I think in that situation, you know, where the idea of the game is to get the ball to a certain point, right? Mm-hmm. And I think when we get the ball to a putting green, we're almost there, and I think we're at a point where that area is, again, it's a specifically purposed area to get us to a certain point. When we're replacing a ball in the general area, it's being put back into play, whether it's via a relief situation or we lifted it under an applicable rule. And when that ball's back in play, in my opinion, there's no difference between that ball going back in play, taking relief, and then someone else's ball rolling up right next to it via a stroke. Mm-hmm. Both of those balls are in play. They both got to a certain point for some reason. So. In that situation, I think when Charlie replaced that ball, it was returned to play under an applicable rule. And it should be in play, whether it got there via his hand or it got there via right. previous stroke.
Right. Well, again, I think intuition tells us that I placed it there and therefore, and again, now that we have this new concept, which I think, by the way, is the best change, if not the best change, in the top two or three in the 2019 mm-hmm. changes. Because now... no matter what happens, you're playing your next stroke from there. And intuitively, I've been around the rules long enough to know that it just made sense to golfers. I've placed my mark behind the ball. I have fixed that point. And I can't tell you how many times I had to explain to a golfer over the years prior to 2019, okay, that ball is in play now. It is now at the mercy of Mother Nature and any of the whims and vagaries and gravities and all those things. That's just counterintuitive. To people, it just doesn't. Again, it makes sense to us rules geeks because we understand the game board and we understand sort of the logic of the rules. But to a, it doesn't really make common sense. And if you were to show somebody, okay, in this situation, Charlie Hoffman has placed the ball, rolls back in, he has to get, and it's even worse because not only does he have to, he gets another penalty stroke because if it had rolled 20 yards closer to the green. Hey, good luck for Charlie, right? We saw that. Yeah. Dustin Johnson sure. at the Masters many years ago on number 7 placed his ball on the precarious top slope there. That green is so tilted from back to front. And he marked his ball. Okay, the ball was in play. It rolled to like 3 feet and he made birdie. Because, again, it remained at rest. Yep. Now, again, so there's – again, this goes back to the term rub of the green, which no longer exists in the rules.
Right.
And I'd always point out at rules seminars – a rub of the green is good or bad. It's just life.
Yep. Right. And I think it goes back to, there's another point in the rules now, it's under Rule 11, and it kind of used to apply to rub of the green, but breaks like that with players, whether it's natural force movement or something else happens, most of the time we just have to accept that as a player, whether it's favorable to us or not. In Charlie Houghton's case, it wasn't favorable to him, and right. You know, he's got to accept that and move on, get that ball back in play somehow. But jumping back to another part of that conversation was you know, the difference between a ball in the putting green and a ball in the general area. We talk about this concept of when we mark a ball on the putting green, we're owning that spot now. You know, that spot belongs to that ball. That ball is getting replaced on that spot. It's, you know, moved, it's coming back. In the general area, you know, I don't think that we ever own our spot in the general area. Our ball is occupying a spot somewhere when it's at rest in the general area via stroke, or we're putting it back in play, replacing it down. We're occupying that spot, but that ball never really owns that particular spot once it's in the general area. I think the concept of a ball being locked into a spot, I think there's a reason why it's only applies to the putting green. It kind of goes back to that prepared surface for a specific, you know, we're playing the ball along the ground. But I think that's also what our situation hinges on here, the difference between owning that spot on the putting green and occupying our spot in the general area.
Right. No, that makes sense to me. But again, the rules of golf have evolved over hundreds of years. And the rule that's evolved the most is the putting green rule. Because if you think about the original 13 rules, it said you're going to tee your ball within a club length of the hole or two club lengths of the hole. You can imagine what that putting green in quotes look like.
Yep.
So it's a fascinating, for those that are interested, if you really want to see the evolution of golf, study the putting green rule. But the principle of the ball's on the ground. It's now a different game. It's a ground game.
Yep.
And putting greens today are so ridiculously fast that it's really smart what we've done with that, because it's so easy to move a ball on the putting green. The rest in the general area, you have to be pretty sloppy or careless to move a ball in play in the general area. There's enough grab. But in this case with Charlie Hoffman, there wasn't a lot. It was pretty precarious. The thing about it that, frankly, I found the most, you know, really got my hackles was his comment, there's nobody here to protect the player. That's one of the things he said. Who's here to protect the player? And he blamed everyone except himself. And one of my favorite quotes in the rules of golf, or in the game of golf, was by C.B. McDonald in his book, Scotland's Gift. He said, in life and in golf, I'm paraphrasing, there is no fairness. You take the good and the bad, and that's where you prove your mettle. But the most important thing, you take responsibility. This is a concept in today's world, not to get a little too preachy or get on a soapbox, that is so, frankly, it's becoming extinct. It's an endangered species, this idea of self-responsibility. That's the whole point of the rules. You're responsible. Not only are you responsible for applying the rules to yourself, you're also there to protect the field. We say this all the time. Mm-hmm. When you're playing a stroke play competition and you see a rules violation, it's your job as a competitor to protect the field. So I just thought his comment was so indicative of the mindset, frankly, of the PGA Tour players today.
I think he also, along that same comment, I think he also tacked on the end there something about, you know, if a player at a country club was in that same situation, there's no way they would be getting one stroke. Well, that may be true, but again, it doesn't absolve a player on a, you know, in a professional competition or someone who's abiding by the rules of golf from that penalty. You know, I mean, the penalty still exists under the rules, so it's that part is common. I didn't care for either. Another part, as long as we're on the, you know, riffing on Charlie train here, is he talked about some, you know, during the dropping procedure and then placing that ball after two drops, he talked about having no control over where he places that ball. You know, well, the control was where he chose to drop within the relief area. You know, he had a, you know, one club length semicircle. He had a massive, you know, massive is relative. He was taking lateral penalty relief. You know, two club length relief area he was dropping in. You know, anywhere in that relief area was eligible to take those drops. You know, maybe he could have chosen a better part of the relief area or even measured his two club lengths differently.
Right.
You know, reflecting back to my video, he had other options available to him as well. You know, back on the line, whether, you know, going back 100 yards or not was the right play. You know, at least it would have got him on a level line. He wouldn't even have.
Well, it's funny. I've talked about practicing your drop and being able to hit an exact spot for this very reason. He probably picked maybe he was very specific and picked a tuft of grass because it was rather than a bare kind of a depression where the ball definitely would not have moved. I promise you, in that two club length area, there was a bad lie in there. He chose a good lie. Mm-hmm. So good lies are often perchy. So he got bitten by the perchy lie that was not nearly as stable as the one if he put it down in a little hole. I guarantee you, he wouldn't have had a problem. So here's the exit question as we wrap up this first journey into the Ed Lewis chats on the rules. Would you make a change? Would you change this rule? Or I can't help myself, pardon the pun, is that a slippery slope?
I do agree that, you know, if we embark on the journey of making some sort of change here, whether it's in our placing procedures or natural force movements, I think natural force movement in this scenario, when it moves a ball from its new spot after placing it, I think that's still part of the game. I think it's still an important part. Just like anyone, you know, some people might argue the drop is still an important part of the game, or you know, any other, you know, aspect that is controlled outside of our control. But I don't think I would make a change here. I have no problem with the ball being moved by natural forces. I certainly don't have any problems with the changes we've made to the putting green after we've marked, lifted, and replaced the ball. I think those changes have been made for the better, and I don't think you'll get anyone arguing against that. But here, I don't think this is one of those scenarios where Charlie's, you know, unfortunate mishappening and his subsequent rant is going to lead us to some big change in the coming years. But personally, I think there's no issue with moving with natural forces.
I guess that's why Robert's no longer here, because I agree with you. If you were Robert, I'd just disagree with you on principle.
Yeah.
But I agree. I understand why it looks bad. I understand why it doesn't look bad. It looks odd. But again, when you understand the principles behind the rules, and I've always advocated, read the purpose statements in the rule book. They are so well written, and they really ground you in why. I've always been frustrated as I've studied the rules when I ask a why question and I get a less than satisfying answer. And again, the why here is the ball is in play. It's subject to the elements. And just because he happened, I love what you said. Mm-hmm. Not all movement is created equal. And whether a ball gets to a perchy lie on its own or because you placed it there, that's where it ended up. And it's funny, now that I think back on the Ricky Fowler situation, I said to several people, if his ball had, in that one, he chipped it over the green, mm-hmm. and it just barely trickled and went off. If it had stopped and didn't go all the way into the penalty area on the first time, and then as he was lining up the next shot, it trickled in, nobody would have had a problem on it. That intervening event of the ball being in his hand and being placed there is what gets people all hung up. So now, as we wrap up, if you have comments, this is a first chance for you to get your two cents in. So we'd love to hear from you. You can click somewhere on this. Aaron will figure that out and let us know what you think. Thanks for listening.
Yep. Thanks again.